Hello and welcome to Democracy in Action. My name is Sani Martin and we are coming to you live from Juba. And in this episode of today, our discussion will be focusing on the budget process and appropriation act. And that's what we are going to be discussing today. And later on during the discussion, our lines will be open to you where you can call us on 0912067879 or 0912067929. You can also send us your comment or question to our SMS number 0912177141. Those are all our contacts. You can get in touch with us here and ask a question to our guest who is already with me here in the studio. As we discuss the budget process, how budgets are made in the country and how they are spent and by who. And those are some of the questions we're going to be discussing here with my guest. And I already have with me here in the studio Honorable Mary Bisencio Wanim, who is the commissioner in the Parliamentary Service Commission supervising parliamentary budget in the national legislature. You are most welcome to Radio Miraya, Honorable.
Thank you, Radio Miraya. First of all, good morning. And I would like to introduce my name. So that we can start.
Yes, go ahead.
I am Mary Bisencio Wani, member of Parliamentary Service Commission, supervising the Parliamentary Budget Office.
Mm-hmm.
What is Parliamentary Service Commission? Parliamentary Service Commission is established to ensure the autonomy of the national legislature and establish parliamentary joint service that shall provide share services to the both houses,
mm-hmm.
the national legislature, the National Legislative Assembly, and Council of State.
That's what I wanted you to make clarification for ordinary South Sudanese who may not understand this big term legislature. So what does it mean? Does it mean we are not only the commissioner for only the National Assembly, but we are for both houses, right? The Council of State and the National Legislative Assembly.
Yes. The National Legislature is the two houses,
mm-hmm.
the National Legislative Assembly and Council of State.
Mm-hmm.
We call both of them National Legislature.
Okay.
And the Commission is for, the Parliamentary Service Commission is for the two houses.
Right.
And their mandate is to provide the budget for these two houses.
Okay.
The National Legislative Assembly and Council of State, including the Commissioner, where I am a member in Parliamentary Service Commission.
Mm-hmm. So just begin by telling us, Honorable, the process of what are the key stages of making a budget or the budget process? Where does it start from?
The budget stages start in the executive.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, in the executive, the budget department, the budget directorate, and the microeconomic department, they determine the budget estimates.
That's in the Ministry of Finance.
Yeah, they determine the what is it called? They determine the revenues that can be spent for the government programs, activities, services, and then after that, they take it to the Council of Ministers, and the Council of Ministers give a ceiling, set a ceiling for the budget for the fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, the circular will go to the spending agencies so that they prepare their budgets. And then it will be brought to the Council of Ministers, will be discussed and approved there in the Council of Ministers. And then after that, according to the Constitution, it will be brought to the national legislature.
So what is, do you have a role in that side or you only wait as,
no.
as a commission?
Yeah. We lawmakers or the commissioner in the Parliamentary Service Commission, we wait until they table the budget.
But you understand what is going on. You'll be following.
Yeah, we are following. Yeah. Mm. We are following over there that they are now starting the preparation of the budget, and we will be awake that when the budget comes, we know When the budget is ready there, approved there, we will know that the budget soon it will
be. So at that time, you have no input in whatsoever?
We, as lawmakers, we don't have input over there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what about, we hear about Appropriation Act. What is it? And why is it very important for public financing management and also for accountability purpose?
Yeah, that is really a very good question. The Appropriation Act, and why is it important for the public financial management and democratic accountability?
Mm-hmm.
The Appropriation Act is an authorization or permission from the parliament, the lawmakers.
Mm-hmm.
They are the ones to authorize the funds to the executive or to all government agencies to spend. And then when they give the permission or authorize, this Appropriation Act is when they give the permission, they get the permission from the parliament with a specific rules and that allow the government to withdraw specific amounts and spend.
When you say when they, who are they? The executive?
The government spending agencies.
Okay, the ministries in simple terms.
The ministries, and in particular, the Treasury or the Minister of Finance. They're allowing the Minister of Finance
To
release the funds.
It is this Appropriation Act that allows.
Allows,
all these government institutions, the spending agencies, to now go ahead and begin spending for the whole financial year.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, and maybe tell us, how does the Parliament exercise an oversight over budget allocation and also government spending during the implementation?
There is a part of the first question about the Appropriation Act. You ask why it is
very important for democratic accountability.
For democratic accountability. Because the government agencies cannot spend public money without legislative approval.
Mm-hmm.
The legislature, they are the one to approve the budget so that the executive or the government agencies cannot release fund illegally or accessing fund without appropriation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Honorable, somebody will be tempted to ask a very serious question to you, that does this law really apply in South Sudan? Do they have any effect after passing the law?
Yeah.
Does it happen where all government spending agencies follow the law and they don't spend money out of context?
Yeah, you know, when we authorize or give the permission to the government agencies to spend the public funds, that means we appropriate it.
Mm.
At the same time, your question that is, are they following that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And what is the role of the lawmakers? Do they do some follow-up to make sure these things are implemented to the letter?
Yeah. So they really applying it.
Mm.
But, you know, with the current situation in the country, sometimes there is emergency somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then even the fund is overspended. And they can... They exhaust the fund and they go to overspend.
Okay.
And then the parliament, they have a role in monitoring or following the implementation of the budget spending by summoning the ministers and ask some queries and questions. And the ministers, they are to answer and justify why they're using that money or spending that money.
Okay. Honorable, I want you to clarify to our listeners. What is the difference between your commission and the Committee on Finance and Budget in the Parliament? Because you're all talking about budget. Do you work in collaboration? Do you work together jointly to ensure that the budget process is smooth? Maybe clarify that to our listeners.
Your question is really good. And many people here in the country doesn't know even the Parliamentary Service Commission, mm-hmm. because it was just established in 2014, when the Act was passed in 2014 and amended in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And it is new to the people. People don't know there is something called Parliamentary Service Commission in the Parliament. And the difference between Parliamentary Service Commission and Committee of Finance is very clear. The Parliamentary Service Commission, let me start with the Parliamentary Service Commission. Mm-hmm. The Parliamentary Service Commission, as I mentioned early, its mandate is to prepare the budget for the two houses, National Legislative Assembly and the Council of State.
So you only focus on the budget of the two houses?
Yeah.
Okay.
That is one of the role.
Yeah.
That is one of the role. And the second role is to, when the budget is tabled in the House, the Parliamentary Service Commission is supposed to have a staff, their technical staff, to provide technical support to the committees. When the budget is tabled to the House, they provide the committees with technical analysis,
mm-hmm.
in the budget and economic matters, and the forecast even, so that we know how we're going to buy, how this budget is going to work for the next 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
the role of Committee of Finance,
yeah.
is this. The role of Committee of Finance is really a big role also. When the budget is tabled by the Minister of Finance in the House, the minister submitted to the Speaker, and the Speaker refer it to the Committee of Finance, and the Committee of Finance divided the work to the clusters and standing specialized committees, and then they scrutinize the budget. And here, the Parliamentary Service Commission come in by providing the technical support,
mm-hmm.
analyzing the budget, and giving some advices. When the committee requested,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
But if they don't,
but what is happening in our the time we are working on the budget?
Mm.
All of us, we are in the committees.
Okay,
all of us, even the commissioners, we are in the committees, and in direct way we participated,
mm.
and at the same time. Our staff also of the Parliamentary Budget Office also, they're involved there.
Okay.
Yeah, because they're supposed to be the secretariat according to the Parliamentary Service Act. The Parliamentary Budget Office staff, technical staff, they're supposed to be the secretariat when we are scrutinizing the budget.
Okay. And there has been a lot of criticism from the local population and also some civil society that the Parliament does not have enough, or they don't practice a complete oversight when it comes to budget allocation, and also how the spending agencies are using the money. What is your take on that?
Can you come again?
I'm saying sometimes the parliamentarians have been criticized for not doing enough to conduct the oversight in terms of budget allocation and also government spending during the implementation of the budget. What is your take on that?
Yeah, we've been hearing as lawmakers, we've been hearing this a lot,
mm.
all over, that the lawmakers, they are not doing enough.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you, the parliament, they're doing really up to the level. But the only thing missing here, I think we don't do all when we're scrutinizing the budget or when we are summoning the ministers and investigating them or interrogating them in the implementation of the budget. The missing part is there is no media so that our citizen can see. Mm-hmm. But our house or parliament doing up to the level, they summoning the ministers, they scrutinizing the budget, and they summoning the ministers, and even if there is an audit report brought to the NI, there is a lot of work, but the missing part, as I mentioned, that there is no media to expose all what the lawmakers are doing in the house.
Okay. So why do you think the media is not involved in this process?
I think, you know, with our situation, sometimes, you see, we have media department there.
Okay.
But they don't bring it live.
All right.
Like, we do the work, and they will be brought after a couple of days, or the next day at evening, something like that. Or sometimes they brought at daytime, and people at work.
Yeah.
Nobody is following. Nobody is not knowing what is going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So what are the major challenges, Honorable, you think is affecting budget implementation in this country? What are the big obstacles?
Yeah, that is really a very good question. And we as a South Sudanese, we need to think about that and see what is wrong. Yeah. Our budget is affected. Yeah. The biggest one is in South Sudan, we depending heavily on oil revenues. And these oil revenues, you know, the global market, the price is fluctuating. Sometimes it's high, sometimes it's down. And we are only depending mostly. I think it's 80% we are depending, or 90% we are depending on oil, and that is not good in for the country economy. Yeah, and then the second thing is also we have. Let me check here.
So now as you check, also maybe does the parliament have a solution for these challenges, the issues you are outlining? Do you have a way of getting out of these challenges as you complete some of the challenges you are?
Okay. Let me complete the challenges affecting the budget implementation. As I mentioned, the economy is relying on the crude oil revenues, and this is really very, very dangerous. The second thing is political instability and conflicts. This also affecting our budget because sometimes the money is shifted. That is why our budget implementation is sometimes is affected. And then also lack of economic diversification.
So people need to begin producing.
Yeah. And the other thing also, we have many checkpoints everywhere.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're getting revenue sometimes also from tax revenues, but we have many checkpoints, and these many checkpoints also...
It has been discussed many times.
And also, you will find the government losing... Because there is some of them illegal, and the government losing some revenues.
As a member of parliament, what do you think should be the best solution for the challenges I've outlined?
Okay. You know, we need to have a reform. And the reform, for the government to do the reform, it need to consolidate government bank accounts. We put it, we call it TSA. TSA is Treasury Single Account. So that make easy or make it better cash pulling or cash drawing from this one single account. And also at the same time, we need implementation of e-tax system. So that we make sure all the money is... collected, it is in, it is transparent, and we can account for it. and we need to eliminate this check, this many illegal checkpoints.
Now, another issue here, Honorable, is that as our lines are going to be open shortly, many people will be calling up to now. As a member of East African community, the rest of our neighbors are already halfway or almost done with their budgets in their different parliaments in their own countries. But yet for us, even it has not been tabled yet in the cabinet for discussion before it finds its own way to the parliament. And we are almost coming towards the end of the financial year budget of 2025-26 in the next 14 days. So we have a new cycle budget on the 1st of July, which is 14 days from today. First of all, what are the bottlenecks that delayed the presentation of our national budget on time in the cabinet and before the legislatures?
Frankly speaking, for the last few years, the budget has not been tabled to the House on time. According to the Constitution, according to our laws, the budget is supposed to be tabled in the House in May 15.
Mm-hmm.
And then by July 1st, the budget already passed.
In fact, I should correct myself. We are only left with about 12 days to the end of...
12 days.
Yeah, 12 days. Today is 18.
It's supposed to be after 12 days, we're supposed to have already the president ascend the budget, sign the budget, and July 1st is supposed to be ready for spending.
Mm-hmm.
But as I mentioned that for several years, for a couple of years, we have not been having budget on time. And so, this due to many obstacles and challenges like political instability, and conflicts, because the government is busy in these conflicts, conflict, and also at the same time, the oil revenues.
But how does that affect a minister tabling the budget before the cabinet and it finds its own way to the parliament?
As I mentioned earlier, this need political will. A political will.
So does it worry the lawmakers that the budget is always tabled late, actually very late, and yet we are supposed to be complying as a member of the EAC and table our budget per the rules that guides us? And also, the last time we had one of your colleagues here, he said it worries them so much because it affects our members of parliament to the EAC assembly.
Yeah. I said it's very much is affecting the lawmakers because the lawmakers, they are representing people in the House. Their role is to represent the people, to make the laws, and... in this way, when the budget is tabled late, most of our civil servants are not paid on time. And even now for a couple months, for several months, salary is not the civil servant, and even as the legislator, we don't get our salaries.
Though you are given some medical allowances.
Yeah. The medical allowances is, it is one of our privileges, and this is supposed to be every year, and also again I'm going back because budget is not it's not passed on time. Now the medical allowance is accumulated for the last 3 years we are not given, and just recently we are given something little. The budget, the medical allowance supposed not to be that amount, because when you are a legislator or you are a member of parliament, that is a contract. When you are done, you go. And so that means you're supposed to be given medical allowance and other allowances.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is the best way of handling this persistent delay in terms of presenting the budget in the House? What should be done to ensure that budgets are presented on time before the lawmakers?
Always we in the parliament, we're trying to remind the executive that they're supposed to start sending or tabling the budget in the house. But for some reason in the executives, some reasons over there, they still, for the couple of years, as I mentioned.
So what is your recommendation?
My recommendation that really need a very strong political will for the executive or for the government to start applying, enforcing the law, our constitution. That saying that by May, suppose the budget is supposed to be tabled in the House so that the legislature get it in May 15 and then the debate on it, the scrutiny the budget, and then before the beginning of July, the 1st July, the budget is passed and also at the same time signed by the, our president. Mm.
What impact does the late budget have on the delivery of services to the people of South Sudan? What are the impacts?
There is a lot of impact. First of all, as I mentioned earlier, no salaries on time, no any allowances even for the constitution post holders. That is something different. But also at the same time, no any development in the institutions because the budget is not there. Like, for example, in the parliament, there is many things supposed to be done so that we can be up to the standard. But because the budget is delayed, we cannot spend funds without the budget is approved or something like that. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So does it worry as you sit in your offices, interact with your colleagues in the parliament, does it worry the lawmakers that for the last 5 years, the budgets have been coming late?
Too much. It's very worrying. Mm-hmm. And even to me, let me talk about myself.
Yeah.
To me, I am a practical person, and I like always to be on my toes working.
Yeah.
And if there is no funds and there is no any work, yeah, because I'm very practical person, I find myself idle.
Doing nothing.
Yeah, doing nothing. And this really worry me so much because, let me tell you this, I came from U.S. I was in U.S. And then when the struggle was going well and the CPA is going to be signed, I said, no, Mary, I need to go back and serve my country.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having too much ambitions. Because I've been in that country, in U.S., I know the development, how they develop, how they help their citizens, their people, they make everybody happy in the country. I want to do the same here. When I came here, and in the beginning, it was okay, because any country, when it, in the beginning...
When
of the
was form, that?
I came in 2010, exactly with the election.
Mm-hmm.
And I...
That was before the independence?
Before the independence. Yeah. I was part of the independence.
Okay.
And I contest the election. My constituency is Juba.
And you won.
And I won the election. And that is why I'm member of parliament.
Yeah.
And
so you are one of the few elected MPs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And then also I witnessed the independent. I was part of the ad hoc committees on the budget, the transitional constitution. And I participated in many, many laws.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, if you have just joined us right now, you're listening to Democracy in Action. My name is Annie Martin, and in the studio I have Honorable Mary Vicencio Wani, the Commissioner in the Parliamentary Service Commission, supervising Parliament budget in the National Legislature, and we are discussing about the budget process and Appropriation Act. You have heard from her that some of the MPs are really not happy because of the delay in the presentation of the budget. According to the law, it should have been in the parliament by the 15th of May every year, as per the law. You can call us right now. You have also heard from her how budget is, the stages of budget. She already explained to you. You can call us on 091206. 78, 79. If you want to know anything about how baguettes are made, please call us and be part of our discussion. Yes, we do have a couple of questions coming in here via our SMS number. And this one here is saying that I would like to greet the Honorable in the studio. And my question is, if you think that the Minister of Finance is delaying to present budget every year, why don't you summon him to the Parliament to come and explain so that we know that you did your part, but it's now the executive who don't want to obey the law. That's from Jackson here in Juba. Jackson, that why don't you summon the ministers of or the Minister of Finance, the people in charge, to come and explain?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Jackson. That is really a very good question. And yes, the delay of the budget is really worrying the parliament, the lawmakers, the people, the lawmakers, the presenting people, and your question is why we don't summon the Minister of Finance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, why don't we summon him? The process of how the government works. The government works in this way by law. For example, when it start delaying, there is a letter has to go to the executive, written to the executive first to remind them the budget preparation supposed to start. And then after that, if delays like the couple years, as we said earlier, that for a few years, the budget delays, we summon the ministers. As I mentioned earlier, that sometimes you don't see because we have a lack of
publicity.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So you think publicity is the best way?
Yeah. Like several times when we summon the minister to the house, we ask him, now we are approaching, sometime in March, we ask the minister that, the budget now, you're supposed to start preparing the budget because by May 15, the budget is supposed to be tabled to the House. And always we get the answer that they're working on it, but we don't know what is happening. Mm. And as we know, the ministers are every few couple months.
Changed. Okay.
And everyone, when it come, every minister, when it come, in the beginning, has to catch up first. Mm-hmm. to familiarize himself with what is going on. And this also taking time.
Okay. Yeah. Garang from Rumbek, John Garang from Rumbek Lake State, says the budget have been prepared, passed many times, yet salaries are not paid to the government employee. What should be the reason, as a member of parliament? Why are we always having a budget passed? It is signed by the president, but salaries are never paid, including the MPs. Why? Any idea?
That is really a very tricky question, and I think mostly the right person to answer it very well is the Minister of Finance or the executive. Mm. But I can try.
But as a representative of the people,
yeah,
don't you think it's also in your powers to find out why salaries are not being paid?
Yeah, as I mentioned, I am a part of it to also to know why it delays, why the salaries delays, because we are representing people.
Yeah,
and always in the house we've been. Summoning the Minister of Finance, why the salaries is not paid, and especially for the soldiers, especially because they are the one protecting this country, protecting our sovereignty. Plus, us, even the legislation, we are not getting our salary, are not paid on time, or even we don't get it nowadays. There is a system of the salary is sent to your account, and at the same time, when you go to your bank, there is no liquidity in Grush Mafi for several, almost more than 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have been getting this problem. The reason why the salaries are not paid, we as a legislature, we're trying to find out, even from the executive, why salaries are not paid. And most of the time we're getting the answers that because of the political instability, or maybe the funds are not enough, the resources are not enough from oil revenue, mm-hmm. or from the taxes revenues from National Revenue Authority.
Okay.
Yeah.
And as we conclude, Honorable, if you had one key reform to recommend that would make South Sudan's budget process more transparent, accountable, and responsive to the needs of the ordinary people, what would that be and why?
You can repeat the question.
Yes, I'm saying if you had one key reform. Yes, to recommend that will make the budget process more transparent, accountable, and responsive. What will be that kind of recommendation?
For our budget implementation to be more transparent and account at the same time, as I mentioned earlier, we suppose the government bank's account suppose to be a single treasury single account, TSA, to be in one account.
So don't we have, I understand most of the accounts were closed last time by the current vice president for economic cluster. We understand that.
Yeah, I know that, and this is one of the reform.
Is that not in place, or we have so many accounts? The TSS, I mean.
Yeah, it is in place, okay. And this is one of the way to reform this implementation of the budget.
Okay.
And also, one of the reform we need e-tax system.
Mm-hmm.
E-tax system will help. It will help because it will be transparent, and also it's easy to be accountable.
But many people have been resisting. You heard what happened in Nimule. Many people were protesting, and all this. There were a lot of wrangles surrounding that issue of e-tax. Or does it require awareness?
Yeah, it require awareness, and you know, a human being is a human being. Always resist the change.
Okay.
Yeah, and it will take time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and finally. You are concluding remark.
My concluding remark, I just want to say thank you for having me today. And it is really a good session. And just what I want to say to our people of South Sudan, that in any country in the world, in the beginning, the formation of any country in the world is going through a lot in terms of there's no system. But we have systems. We have systems, but it's just the enforcement and laws and corruption. In any country in the world, in the beginning, it goes through all what we are going through.
Is there a light at the end of the tunnel?
Excuse me?
Is there a light at the end of the tunnel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if we, as really we started now reform, as you mentioned, and you know everywhere, you know very well that now the other accounts were closed.
Yeah.
And then at the same time we have e-system, e-tax system.
All right.
And we close some illegal checkpoints.
Mm-hmm.
In this way we can have our revenues in a very transparent way and accountable.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mary Bisenso Wani, the Commissioner in the Parliamentary Service Commission, supervising Parliament budget in the National Legislature. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. And with that, we have come to the end of our discussion. The news is coming next. Stay tuned.